All right, take your Bibles and let's go to Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8. And we are going to move quickly to get into our message. Down here, connect with you guys. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8, where we want to go. Philippians 4, verse number 8. Title of our time together is, what do you think about? 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 What does your brain meditate on? What do you think about? Nothing? Anything? Godly things? Sometimes? What do we think about? Philippians 4, verse number 8. If you're there, nod your head. If you're there, nod your head. Gary, are you there? No? Philippians 4, 8? Okay. Look on to a person to your left or right if you don't have a Bible. All right, who's our author? Paul, right. Paul's our author. What do we have? Philippians, what is it? Someone, let's go quickly. What is it? It's a letter. Got it. It's a letter. To who? Church at Philippi. Okay, we've got it. Verse number 8. Finally, closing remarks, wrapping it up. Finally, brethren. Finally, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters in Christ. That's us. Talking to us. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Finally, brethren. And then you know it, you memorized it this week. Here it comes, a list. Here comes a list. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, and then there it is right there. That's what we want to focus on. Four words, there they are. Look at them in your Bible. What are they? Think. Think on these things. Think on these things. You were made, Heather, in the image of God. Made in the image of God. Made in the image of God. God thinks and therefore you think. Why? Because you were made in the image of God. How many have a dog or a cat and you think that your dog or cat thinks? Okay. How many have had a pet that you really, it looks like the pet is contemplating something. I mean, it looks like, is that dog thinking about something? If you ever had a pet that long and you get so close, do pets think? Do pets think? Yes or no? You think pets think? You know they do. Do dolphins think? Seem to be that dolphins think. And you say, no way. They do. Do dolphins think about the predestination of God? Not sure. Jimmy's not sure. Okay. So there's clearly a difference between an animal thinking and a man thinking. It's what makes you special, Emily, is your ability to think about something and then not just think about it, Hope, but your ability to take what you think about and communicate it. Certainly, even if animals are thinking, certainly even if, Miss Hawk, your dog is thinking, I'm sure he doesn't communicate much with you. Hard to have a conversation with a dog about the sovereignty of God and the human responsibility in regard to salvation. Doesn't really happen too much. It's kind of hard to have that kind of conversation. You have a cat or a dog, Chris? Neither. Fish? Anything? Nothing. Wow. How sad for you. Okay. So let's talk about this. I'm afraid, I'm just going to keep pushing back until I get close enough to you, Sean, and I'm preaching at you. I'm afraid in our Baptist churches, John, I think that sometimes we put too much emphasis on the outward and not enough emphasis on the inward. See, here's the deal. I can look at the outward of Keith all the time and go, okay, is he wearing a belt? Yes or no. Does he have a tie on? Yes or no. Is his shirt tucked in? Yes or no. Does he look like this? Does he have an earring in or not? Does he have... No. But what about what he's thinking about? What about what he's thinking about? How do I regulate what you're thinking about? How do I give you a demerit for what you're thinking about? I can't. How do I know what Phil... Right now, I don't even know whether you're with me, Grace, or whether you're somewhere far, far away in your thinking. I don't know whether you're going, this guy is off and he's... How many minutes till it's over with? Because you could be thinking about anything right now, right? Yes or no? Could you be thinking about anything? Yes or no? Yes. No? Yes? Maybe? See, I'm not even sure we're communicating. Can I get a translator? The Bible has a lot to say about think. The Bible has a lot to say about your mind. The Bible has a lot to say about your heart. The Bible has a lot to say about your thoughts. Genesis chapter number 6. Go there very quickly. Chris, that's the first book of the Bible. Go there very quickly. Genesis 6. 6. Genesis 6. All the way in the beginning. Quickly, sword drills. 6, chapter number 5. Chapter number 6, verse number 5. Chris, nice and loud, please. No, nice. Use your man voice. Try it again.
God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Okay, let's look at it again one more time. God saw what?
Wickedness.
Now I can see wickedness and you can see wickedness. But God sees what I can't see. God sees, according to the text, every thought of his heart was only evil continually. Morgan, God knows what you're thinking about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's never a moment that God doesn't know what you're thinking about, Scott. Never. You cannot have private thoughts when it comes to God. You can have private thoughts with mom and dad. You can have private thoughts with each other. You can be looking at each other and talking in the most pleasant, kind voice and be thinking the most wicked thoughts at the exact same time. Yes, I am being kind to Nigel, but he is the scum of... You can't... We can do that. That's how our thoughts are. Is that true or not, Christian? I mean, we can make ourselves look like we're the best of friends, but inside, our mind is going all over. What's it say right here? Evil. Only evil. By the way, what's the next thing that happens after Genesis 6, Gary? Where does God go with this thing? A global flood? Utter destruction of everyone? Why? Why, Daniel? Because every thought of man was continually evil and God had to eliminate them. Sin always comes from the mind first, Chris. Always. It starts up here. Those of you that are in these couple relationships, in these, you know, where you're, you know, you sit next to each other and you got these couple relationships, before you sin physically, you will sin in your mind first. Before you actually cross the line and get into sin with that boy or that girl, you'll do it in your mind first. God knows your heart. 2 Corinthians. Now we're going to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians. Quickly, please. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Jimmy, would you read verse 5? 2 Corinthians 10. Give everyone a second to get there. I want you to see it in your own Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 5. Go ahead. Nice and loud. Now there's an idea. There's an idea. I'm doing two things. I'm casting down imagination. I should not be thinking this. And then I'm taking a thought as though I can reach out and grab a hold of that thought. My brain's going down this road right now. I'm beginning to think evil of somebody. I'm beginning to be anxious. I'm beginning to worry. I'm beginning to think bad of somebody. I know where my brain's going on this path down this road. And the Bible tells me, grab that thought and turn that thought around and bring it back into obedience to Christ. And most of the time, I'm not worried about my thoughts. I'm only worried about my outward stuff. I'm not really worried about my thoughts because I can't get in trouble for my thoughts. And I'm thinking it really doesn't matter what I think about. But the Bible says that's not the case at all, Sean. That's not the case at all. You need to be just as concerned about what you're thinking about as how you're acting. And then someone says, well, that's because it always works out to where you act from your thoughts. No, that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes I have great self-control. It's not just a matter of the fact that my thought leads me to an action. I can have self-control. Some of you are having sex in your thought life with your partner. You're thinking about what you shouldn't be thinking about. You shouldn't be thinking about it. God knows whether you're thinking about it or not. God knows what you're thinking about. And what you're supposed to do is that thought, here it comes. Nope. I'm going to turn that thought around and bring it back into obedience. I'm going to bring that thought into... No, I'm not going to let... We're not going down that road. Let's go to 2 Samuel. I'm sorry, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. I'm just taking you everywhere. I want you to see that this is a theme throughout your entire Bible. Samuel. 2 Samuel. That's in the Old Testament. Let's go. Find it. 2 Samuel. First. Where are we going first? It is 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Don't ask me again, because I might get it wrong. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Okay? All right, who's got it? Keith, nice and loud. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Clark, could you... Okay, try it again. Take two.
But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Okay. We need to grab a hold of this verse, and we need to make it us. Now, come on. We live in a world that it's all about how you look. It's all about how you look. Come on. Every new brand is all designed to get you to understand you're not cool if you're not wearing this brand. That brand is last year's brand. I can't believe you're still wearing that. That was cool last year, but it's not cool anymore. Nike used to be cool. Now Nike's not cool. Now it's Under Armour. Who's going to be next? It's constantly changing. Under Armour, there's no Under Armour before. No one even thought about Under Armour. And how many other brands have just come up recently? How many other things, and it's because I have this logo on, or this patch, or this, or that. I was there. I know exactly where you're at on that. I didn't go to a Christian school when I grew up. I went to a public school. You know why? My mom and dad didn't have any money for Christian school. We were dirt poor. I have class pictures where I was wearing pants like this. You know why? Hand-me-downs. I don't have any money. No money, Ryan. So I couldn't wait, Christian, until I turned 16 years old. Could not wait. 16 is when I could start working. And if I could start working, I could earn money, and I was going to take that money and buy clothes so that I could be what? Sure. Why? Why? Because man looks on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward appearance. What sunglasses do you have? What hat do you have? What shoes do you have? Last year's shoes aren't cool anymore. Those are last year's shoes. I can't believe you're still... But God looks at your heart, Ryan. God looks at your heart. Look at the text. But, strong contrast, conjunction, linking word, God looketh on the heart. Not heart like this, Sean. The Bible never talks about a heart that pumps blood. They had no clue in those days that there was a muscle inside your chest cavity that pumped blood. They were clueless about that. For them, the heart was the center of your emotions. You cry from the heart. You made decisions from the heart. You love from the heart. You look forward from the heart. You thought from the heart. The heart was what mattered to God. Today we call it the what? Conscious good. What else would we call it? The soul, in other words, mind. We talked to Chris, we talked about a heart transplant. You can get a heart transplant and still be Chris. There's no brain transplants. Your brain is what makes you you, Ryan. That's you. That's your thinking. That's the very intimate of you. And I don't want anybody, coming all the way back here, push back here, I don't want you, Clark, to go, I grew up in a Christian school, I grew up in a fundamental church, and all they cared about was the outward, the outward, the outward, the outward. I want you to understand that's not correct. I want you to understand that not only is the outward important, but far more important is what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? There's no way, March, you can watch an R-rated movie that has all kinds of filth on it and keep a pure heart. It's impossible. You can't. There's no way a guy in this room, can go watch a bunch of babes in two-piece bathing suits and keep a pure heart. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. What am I thinking about right now? Those of you in these couple relationships, you cannot crawl in the back of a car together and keep a pure thought life. You cannot have your hands all over each other and keep a pure thought life. It's impossible. It's no way it's going to... And God knows what you're thinking about. God knows what you are thinking about. Luke chapter number 9, verse 47. I'll read it to you because we're running out of time. Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart. The thought of their heart. Perceiving the thought of their heart. God knows what I'm thinking about at that baseball game. God knows how I'm thinking ill of somebody. God knows that. And what I've got to learn to do is say, wait a minute, is this a pure thought? Is this a lovely thought? Is this an appropriate thought? Is this a Christ-honoring thought? Is this a God-glorifying thought? Acts chapter number 8, verse 22, the Bible says, Therefore, repent of this wickedness, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven. Now there we've got, girls, there we've got, they're asking forgiveness for the thought of their heart. Not an action. Not an action. See, we always think in terms of asking forgiveness because I lied, asking forgiveness because I was rude. We always think about asking forgiveness for outward things. Imagine you'd blow somebody away if you walked up and said, you know what, John, will you forgive me? You say, what for? I was thinking evil of you. And our reaction would be, man, you don't have to, you didn't say anything. You're right, I didn't say anything, but God knows my heart. God knows what I was thinking. You know what I'm talking about when you take your fingers and you put it on the Facebook keys? And you put something on the wall. It's a reflection of your thought life. So what you have to say is, even before your fingers touch the keyboard, you have to say, would Christ be honored with this thought right now? Is this an okay thought? You love God with your heart. Listen, Mark 12:30. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. So, Pastor Joe, you said Wednesday, worship. Worship in the Spirit. You can be singing in church, whatever it is, on key or off key. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Gary. God knows your heart. God knows whether it's really worship or not. Everybody can look at you and say, look how he's singing. But God knows whether you're singing and daydreaming or actually thinking about God. Now, let's be honest. We don't want to think. We don't want to be challenged to think. We get frustrated when we have to think. When we have to think about... You're gonna need to think about this. We don't want to think. We are lazy. We are generally lazy. We don't want hard concepts presented to us. When I tell you that God is three persons and each person is distinct and each person is one. What? Huh? when I tell you that God has before the foundation of the world chosen you even before you were born, and yet you must repent and put your faith in Christ. And you go, preacher, how do you reconcile that? I don't want to think about that. And that's why a lot of our preachers don't preach hard things, because their people don't want to think. They want to wrestle with hard concepts, deep theological issues. I want to be in the mamby-pamby land. I don't want to think with my mind through biblical concepts. Here's what I need to tell you, Scott. You can take your mind and glorify God. That you're sitting there going, you know what? I want to think about this. I want to think about this difficult idea. I want to think about the comprehension of the Trinity. That God is talking to God, like in Psalms chapter 110, sophomores. The Lord said to the Lord. What? How does the Lord say to the Lord? That doesn't make any sense to me. And you begin to think through that in your mind. Yahweh's talking to Adonai. How does Yahweh talk to Adonai? I thought that those are two names of the same God. How is God talking to God? This makes sense to me that God talks to God. I don't talk to myself. God's one. No, God's three distinct persons. Wait a minute. You're going to think about that for a few minutes, Jensen. You're going to work through that. I was so proud of you 3 years ago when you were in my sophomore class and you turned in a great paper that you had thought through. I was so proud of you for thinking. Yeah, Jensen, yes. I know everyone. Jensen? Yes, Jensen. I love to see you think. I want to see you thinking through hard things. Andrew, you've been doing a great job in thinking through hard things, staying after class sometimes and thinking through difficult things. Do you understand that when you take your brain and think like that, God is glorified? You're using it the way it's supposed to be used. I'm discouraged sometimes when I hear fundamental preachers saying stuff like, y'all are making it too complicated. You don't need to think about that so much. No, God wants us thinking about deep things. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to the Lord. The Bible says that it's the glory of man to search out those things. That's what makes you different from a dog, Christian, is that you can think about God and think through these things. If not, we just become just animals. Romans chapter number 12. Everyone turn there, please, and then we'll be done. Romans 12. Let's talk about this. Sometimes in a Christian school, please listen to me. Our school's got to be different. Please listen to me. Sometimes in a Christian school, we even mock the people that are thinking through things. We mock them. If somebody likes math and it's hard math, we're guilty of mocking that person because they like thinking through hard math. If somebody enjoys physics and they like to work through the difficulty of physics, we actually mock them. We can't believe that they like to use their brain and think. God gave them brains like that. Do you understand that if we didn't have thinkers, we wouldn't have cures to things? Isaac Newton was a thinker. Benjamin Franklin was a thinker. Thomas Jefferson was a thinker. These men that penned the Declaration of Independence were thinkers. They thought through things. We live in a comic book world. God gave you a brain for a reason. You are supposed to use it. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you please would present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means your entire body, including your mind. That mind would be holy, that mind would be acceptable unto God. And this is your spiritual worship or your reasonable service. This is an act of worship that you can actually worship God by thinking through hard things. And, conjunction, be, commandment, not conformed to this world. Stop thinking like the world. Stop looking like the world. But instead, please notice this is so important. Be transformed. How? How am I going to be different? And then it tells me right there, by the what? Renewing of your mind. I'm going to make my mind new. I want my mind to be renewed, made new. Renewal is a makeover. It's kind of like some of y'all on that banquet night. I didn't even recognize some of you. You looked entirely new. It's like, wow, where'd that come from? You know, one of those Hollywood makeover kind of a deals. You were made new, renewed. You can take your mind and renew your mind. Through what? Scripture reading, acts of worship, good conversations, prayer time. You can't renew your mind making out with your girlfriend. That's not a renewing time. You can't renew your mind watching one of the Porky's episodes or one of those ridiculous movies that are just so immoral, or listening to this and that that's just profane. That's not a renewing thing. Renewing your mind is listening to a good, pure, honest song. Renewing your mind is watching a healthy thing and thinking through something. But that's not funny. That's not cute. Well, I got to fix that. I got to figure out a way to renew my mind. Let's pray.